River Natural Resources District Board of Directors meeting. Welcome. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item 2, Notification of Open Meetings Act and Meeting Procedure. A copy of the Open Meetings Act, Nebraska Revised State Statute 84-1407 through 84-1414 is posted on the back wall of the meeting room. Prior to turning to the agenda for today's meeting, I would like to announce the procedure that will be used. With respect to each agenda item, the directors will hear the subcommittee chairman's report with their proposals and recommendation. Then the public will be given the opportunity to address the board chair. Lastly, directors will discuss the item and take action. All questions and comments will be addressed to the board chairman. We ask that the public not interrupt directors' discussion and action. Thank you. Item 3, quorum call.
Present.
Bradley.
Here.
Conley.
Here.
David
Smith. Here.
Fowler.
Here.
Henningsen.
Here.
Jeff.
Here.
McCormick.
Here.
Caesar.
Here.
Thompson.
Here.
Chairman.
Here.
I have an excused absence here for Director Rich Teaser. Item 4, adoption of agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Bradley.
Yes.
Conley.
Aye.
David
Smith. Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
Yes.
Jeff.
Yes.
McCormick.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Sherman.
Yes. Item 5, adoption of consent agenda.
So moved.
Roll call.
Conley.
Aye.
Davidson.
Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
Henningsen.
Yes.
Jeff.
Yes.
McCormick.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Chairman.
Yes. Item 6, proof of publication of this meeting. I have that here, and that will become part of the permanent record of the meeting. Item 8, agency association reports and presentations. 8A, Easter Seals presentation by Kyle Gilster from Hush Blackwell. Please state your name. And
Kyle Gilster, G-I-L-S-T-E-R, with the law firm of Hush Blackwell. I'm only going to be up here shortly, then I'm going to introduce the Easter Seals. Just to give you a little brief overlay, up in Blair, Nebraska, Dana College closed over 10 years ago, the Danish Lutheran School up there. And since then, they've been trying to do a variety of things, which the property is a great opportunity. Easter Seals owns some of the property there and is going to build a camp for children and adults with disabilities. So we have a PowerPoint here for you. Today, we're going to have three speakers, and then happy to answer any questions. But I did want to introduce the entirety of our group here, too. Carol Patrick will be the first speaker, is the Chief Philanthropy Officer for Easter Seals. Jamie Bidrowski is the Camp Director. Tim Mettenbrink is with the Lund Company. Brian Emmerich is with Olson Engineering. Carissa Ames is with Lund. We have Aaron Barrow, who is the Assistant City Administrator from the City of Blair. And if he's not here already, Rod Storm, the city administrator from Blair, should be here shortly. So I'll turn it over to you, Carol.
Thank you, Kyle. Thank you for the opportunity to be here, share with you this afternoon. Could we go to the next slide, please? For those of you who may not know much about Easter Seals Nebraska, or Easter Seals as a whole, it was founded as a national organization in 1919, first as the National Society for Crippled Children. Today, it is considered the largest nonprofit healthcare organization in the nation, with affiliates in all 50 states. Each functioning affiliate in each state is a separate 501c3. In 2012, Easter Seals Nebraska merged with Visiting Nurse Association, which was founded in 1896 and is in its 126th year of operation. in Omaha and throughout the state of Nebraska. And so we were very pleased to take Easter Seals under our umbrella at that time and serve to share overhead and services like my own in philanthropy of so to raise money for both organizations. We specifically today wanted to talk about Camp Easter Seals because we're very excited about what's happening with the future of that camp. If we could go to the next slide, please. Camp Easter Seals was established in 1967. It is one of the preeminent programs for Easter Seals Nebraska. Originally, we had a camp of our own. It was located in Milford. In 1999, there was a train derailment where there was a spillage of diesel fuel, which made the camp inoperable for the Easter Seals organization. There was a settlement that happened at the time, and from that settlement with the railroad, we established an endowment that we have held on to with the hope and promise that we would be able to establish our own camp again at some time. For an extended period of time, we leased from the Boy Scout organization, utilizing one of the camps there. We ended that relationship right at the start of COVID for two reasons. We couldn't hold camp for those who were medically fragile during COVID. And the other reason was that Camp Eagle that we were leasing had really come to a state where it was not safe for our campers, our clients, to be there. So we vowed at that time, as COVID was starting, to look for another location. We did virtual camps during the COVID time, but I approached a couple of years ago Ed Shada with Angels Share. He is the person to whom Frank Krejci donated the Dana College land. And I talked to Mr. Shada about selling us a portion of that land. So on December 21st of just this past year, we finalized the sale for 64 and a half acres of semi-wooded land that is part of that former Dana College campus. And we are really here today to share a little bit more with you about what that property can become. Tim Mettenbrink, that's your sign to come up and talk a little bit more in specifics about that. And we can go to the next slide, please.
Thank you, Carol. Thank you for allowing us to be here today. Again, my name is Tim Mettenbrink. I'm the Senior Strategic Advisor at the Lund Company, which means I get involved with trying to help people make good decisions. So I was involved with the board at Easter Seals when they first started to explore this property up in Blair. We made an initial trip up there. Fortunately, it was a great day in November. We walked the site and said, oh, my God, have we found something here? So what I'd like to do is just kind of get you oriented a little bit for this. We are looking at about 64 acres that's on the far western end of the Dana College campus that's been purchased. And it has two pieces. There's a high piece, which is on the north, and what we're calling a lower piece on the south. The bigger piece, the two sort of brown blobs there within our red circle are, it's kind of the lower camp area. To orient quickly, let's go to the next site, or next slide, please. Give you a little closer view. In the upper right-hand corner, there's kind of a white building up in there. That's the hospital in Blair. And with the type of clientele that these camps serve, that's really a critical factor. Also, the factor that we're in the city limits of the city of Blair, city services, police, fire, emergency, those types of things, it's a big piece of it. We've been engaged with the city of Blair since the very first conversations about this site, and we're actively cooperating with them in terms of how does this camp get developed, and even more importantly, how does it really serve the greater community of Blair? And they have been concerned about, from an orientation standpoint, Highway 91 is that little loopy road down at the bottom of this site. And there's a railroad crossing. It's a UP main line that comes out of the city of Blair and starts to go south right at that location. It crosses Highway 91 at an oblique angle out there. And they have been concerned for a very long time about derailment. And the fact that anybody from the western part of Washington County would come in for emergency services has to access the city through Highway 91. We intend to run a road through the camp that provides access, alternative access, to the hospital location, you know, for that. And so we've been talking about all those kind of needs for quite a while. Let's go to the next slide. Let me get out of the way. The land piece of this is not nearly as important as what the camp does, so I want to get you an overlay really quickly. The entire lower portion of the camp, the southern half, southern two-thirds, is the intended major Easter Seals camp development. So there are cabins on the site for overnight accommodations, recreation building, dining hall. There's a lot of activity set that Jamie's going to talk to in a minute. And then the blue piece that you see on sort of the right-hand side is intended to be a lake, watershed, if you would, erosion control, if you would. And the little blue thing that runs kind of squiggly after that is what's called Cobble Creek, and it's a major drainage way that goes up to the Missouri River. So we sit kind of strategically located to make some beneficial impacts on the environment out there and on the property. So with that, and we'll get to that in just a minute, but I want Jamie to tell you just a little bit more about camp operations.
Hi, I'm Jamie Biodrowski. Before I get started, I just wanted to let you know that Rod Storm, the city administrator from Blair, is now present. Could you go to the next slide, please? Thanks. So I'm the camp director, and the way we designed this property is so that it is truly barrier-free for all those who use it. So there's the ADA that makes things legally accessible. So maybe there's a power door, or maybe there are some grab bars in one of the stalls of the bathroom. But to be truly inclusive for individuals with disabilities, there is no difference. There's only one door for everyone to go through. There's only one style of bathroom that everyone can choose from. And so all the stalls are large and have grab bars, and all the doors have ramps. There's no stairs. And that goes for outdoor recreation. A lot of individuals with disabilities don't have access to outdoors and getting away from their screens because of the limitations their disabilities have. So we designed this to have intention, not just in the programs and the activities they do, but in the way they engage with one another and with the way they engage in the environment. For example, the sidewalks are all 8 feet wide so that people who use wheelchairs can have a conversation while they're walking down the path together side by side, and they don't have to move out of the way for others. There's a sidewalk that goes around the lake so that they can see the shore and that they can see the wetlands that are around it instead of standing from a dock from afar. You can go to the next slide. This is just a little snapshot of what we envisioned, just as you imagine a typical camp. But since we also serve individuals with adults who have disabilities, this is also their vacation. If you can imagine someone who is completely dependent on someone else to help them use the restroom, to feed them, to change them, to get them out of bed, it's very difficult to imagine what a vacation or a break from real life looks like. But that's what we will be able to provide for them. Next slide. We will have all the activities you imagine, like I said. So archery, shooting sports, horseback riding, crafts, talent show, campfire, a pool, a splash pad, nature, outdoor education, everything. The cabins are large so that everyone, if there's 10 campers who have a wheelchair, they can all fit in there all at once. If they have 9 friends, we don't have to say no to anyone. Everyone can move around without having to worry about being in someone else's way because they have a lot of medical equipment to support them. A lot of these campers are not able to be supported by other camps in the community. Whether they don't have space or they're not accessible, or they're just not equipped with the staff who can support these individuals. And that's where we come in. We take everyone. Some of our campers don't have a disability. Their siblings or their parents just really want to expose them to differences, or they have very high medical needs and needs a nurse at their side almost constantly to keep them alive and well and safe. Next slide. This is just an example of what a campfire could look like. Next. We've designed a ropes course so that everyone can do it, whether you use a wheelchair or a power chair. Next. And then I will turn it over to Tim. Back to Tim. Thank you.
Before Tim gets into some nitty-gritty, just want to do want to make a distinction about this Camp Easter Seals. It is the only camp in the state of Nebraska that accepts people of all ages and all abilities. So as Jamie described, we have nurses. That's part of that partnership with Visiting Nurse Association, who are there on a continual basis to serve the medical needs. But this is not strictly a children's camp. Prior to COVID, our youngest camper was 5 years old, and our oldest camper was 87. We have campers who have attended this camp for 50 years running. It has become, as Jamie said, their vacation. So this is an opportunity to serve an ever-growing population within the state of Nebraska that cannot be served with other camp facilities. There is no other overnight camp facility like this in the state of Nebraska. There are three in the state of Iowa, so we'd like to get one, you know, most definitely back up and going here. Tim, come talk about the nitty-gritty of water management.
Happy to do that. Thank you. I think about 6 months ago we had an introductory meeting with John Winkler, and we talked about NRD and its function and what it does for the environment and for the communities surrounding that. And he sort of gave us a framework of things that we might consider. And our intention moving forward would be to work up a specific request through John on a couple of subjects. One of them is our impact on stormwater management. By the inclusion of a lake down here, we can have a pretty significant impact. This little area drains about 240 acres, plus or minus, and there's part of that property beyond ours that could be part of a future development area. And if we can take care of all that stormwater impact of future development as well as ours, we think we can do that and provide a pretty good impact down there, diminish what happens down in Cobble Creek and the erosion that typically occurs down in there. So that'll be a part of it. The second piece, next slide, please, is as it pertains to the topography and what we can do from ground cover, erosion control, native plantings, trees, that type of thing. We've got a pretty extensive plan of how we might do that down in there, as well as creating a great environment for the campers that we intend to have. And the last piece, next slide, is for public roadways and trail systems, pathways, so to speak. Here, Jamie talked about the extensive amount of trail system that we'll have within this camp area. You know, big, wide paved things, well, they're pretty pricey. But what we intend to do is really take care of natural grading and be a light impact on this property out there. And the road system we talked about, working with the city of Blair to mitigate potential risk for them. So,
we're going to invite Rod to come up and speak for just a second, and then we have a very quick 3-minute video to share with you before we take questions.
Yeah, I'm Rod Storm, City Administrator Blair. I've seen a few of you around previously, but it's been a while. I know I want to say from the city standpoint, thank you, NRD, for all the great working relationships we've had with you in the past, and, you know, want to continue with that. I will say this, the Mayor City Council is very dedicated to trying to do everything we can to help the Easter Seals. It's particularly exciting for me, particularly when you start looking at some areas where maybe we can get those barrier-free outdoor wildlife training facilities, areas available to the clientele that Easter Seals is trying to serve. I dedicated the first 12-13 years of my career with one of the NRDs, and so getting back to the natural resources is one thing that's always dear to me and been true trying to work with the NRD over the year here. So from a mayor and the city council standpoint, we fully support the Easter Seals project. We're doing everything we can to work with them to try to help make their project become a reality. We've worked hard over the years to, since June 25th of 2010, to try to rethink and redo the college campus up here, and we think this is a tremendous fit to Blair and to the whole region. So, again, I'm just here to support Easter Seals and any way that we can work with the NRD and other organizations to help bring this project to a reality. The city of Blair is all in. So, thank you.
One other thing I want to mention before we show the video is that this is not something, once it is built, that we will keep to ourselves. Our intention is to share widely with education groups. I'm a former college professor. I can't help but see this as a living classroom with undergraduate and graduate college students in physical therapy, occupational therapy, psychology research. It lends itself, pre-med nursing, lends itself to being a living classroom in this area, and we're excited about forging additional relationships to that effect. So we've got a brief video to share with you so that our clients who are not here with us today can speak to you, and then we'll take any questions you might have.
I'm Jamie, the camp director. I'm Mason.
I'm Nicole.
And this is what camp is all about.
Camp Easter Seals is unique because we are the only camp in the state who will accept campers of any age and any ability for overnight programs.
Every child should have the right to enjoy camp.
Camp is important to me because I get to make a lot of new friends.
We are really glad that she has this opportunity, and we love to see her take advantage of that.
To be honest, this is the only option we have for an overnight camp. And from the moment that we have known about Easter Seals Camp and when we were ready to send him away from home, it's just been a blessing for my family.
It's just amazing to see how someone so shy can go to someone so powerful and voiced and confident within just a short amount of time. And just knowing that you can make that impact is really special.
Some of the skills that Amber learned from camp, it gave her confidence. It gave her confidence to be away from home. It gave me confidence in that knowing that she was well cared for with the excellent counselors that she had.
The counselors are just so excited and positive and confident that it's like, nope, see you later, Ashlyn, have fun. And I know she gets spoiled all week long by having somebody around to talk to her all the time.
I think you know you make a difference when you like see a camper that is maybe frustrated or like comes in kind of tired, and then you turn it around and they have a huge smile on their face and they're having a lot of fun.
We have typical camp activities that you would think of, like ropes courses, campfires, canoeing. But then we also have the true magic of camp, which are the relationships the campers make with the other campers and with their camp counselors. That's when you really see the impact that camp makes, when they're cheering each other on or when they are helping each other.
Gives her the opportunity to have that fun summer experience of going to camp like so many others of her peers do in an environment that's safe and supportive, where she's loved and feels empowered.
He comes back more independent and wanting to do things on his own, like he wants to fix his own lunch, he wants to have things to happen on time, he wants to hang out with his friends.
Yes, I made lots of friends at camp.
I just love the camp in general. And I love meeting people like Jamie, Sam, all the time.
I'm happy that I'm able to do this. I'm able to come to Camp Easter Seals.
We cater to the campers, and I would say that's probably the most proud thing of camp is we don't ask our campers to fit a ratio. We don't ask them that they have to do a certain activity or that they have to do it this way. We adapt everything we can to fit them and their needs to make them have a good experience.
Be happy to address any questions you may have.
You can iron your clothes using an ice cube. Here's how.
Or you can iron your clothes using an ice cube. That's important, too.
Any questions?
I don't have any questions, just a brief comment. When I first saw your presentation, my neighbor three doors down was on the very first picture of this. And so that's really good job. Way to get that. You got my support. No, but she really, her name's Steffi, and she really has been, I don't know if she's been to all these camps or not, but she really benefits from your program. So I, for one, appreciate everything you guys do. So.
Is this year round?
It will be year-round. Now that we, once we have this built on our own property, we will expand. I've been challenging Jamie about Christmas camp and spring camp, and then there's also the opportunity to have other camps come in and utilize or to lease for corporate retreats. But, yes, this will be functioning year-round.
For your equestrian help, are you using any specific organizations like Victory Ride, who actually specialize in this?
Jamie?
We are, yes.
Who,
I don't know.
Right.
Over here.
We, not yet, because right now we don't have a home. We're just hopscotching around the state at different places that can hold about 10 members. But, yes, we have been talking to various groups who do equine therapy, and we hope to partnership that program out as much as we can.
Okay, if I can help out in any way, I'm good friends with a lot of them.
Awesome.
Wonderful.
From
you.
Victory, you said?
From Victory, right. You have Tony and Jody specifically. Also, what about the Paralyzed Veterans Association? I know those veterans are amazing. Jim and I can attest to that because we support them a lot.
Oh, yes.
But
that's
be able to bring them out there because even though they are missing legs and arms,
yes,
they want to support.
Yes.
And I had another idea, but we can talk offline. I'll be in contact.
Okay.
Thank you
so much. Carol, Jamie, Kyle, everybody, thank you so much for the presentation. What a perfect location for that, and I hope it comes to life just how you've drawn it up. Ted, go ahead.
I just had a basic question about the time frame or timeline that you have been hoping for.
Right.
To develop
if,
this.
If all goes well, we will open camp 2025.
Okay. And everything won't be complete at that point, I assume, or would it be all complete?
No, but we want to get as much going as possible so Jamie can serve as many people as possible, and we'll grow it from there.
Okay. Thank you.
Jim?
And question for John. The stormwater thing kind of brings it back home here to the NRD. I'm going to assume, and correct me if I'm wrong, but there might be grant opportunities coming for funding for stormwater issues or trail issues.
So the discussions that we've had in working with, obviously, as Rod pointed out, working with the city of Blair, so we would partner with the city of Blair, and we would bring back any, if it's stormwater management or trails or trees or whatever, we would, you know, I think the city would probably be like quote-unquote the applicant, and then we would see where they fit in our programs to fund those specific pieces that, obviously, that our mission supports. So it'll be a coordinated effort. That's the plan.
Thank you. We look forward to working with you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate you all.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, item 8B, NRCS service report written by Andy Bowenkamp. Please take a look at that if you haven't already. He's looking to fill a couple of conservationist positions up in the Blair area. Item 8C, legislative report, Tim Gay, Catalyst Public Affairs. Go ahead, Tim.
Thank you. This is just a process kind of update. I'll be quick. I know you got other things going on, but John sent out a sheet of some of the bills we're following, and I wanted to update on just a few. And then a lot of these bills are coming up in March, so those are listed also that are going to be coming up in the coming weeks. So if you've got an eye on those, you can click on our report that was also sent, and it'll bring it up again. But anyway, I just wanted to let you know there's a yesterday there's a hearing on the eminent domain. It regarded really the proposed lake here in your area that was introduced by Senator Michaela Kavanaugh, and it was to prohibit the use of eminent domain on a recreational lake such as this. And anyway, there are 9 proponents on it to limit that, no opponents. So it's something to keep an eye on. Dean Edson did testify in a neutral capacity on it. And there are a few mentions here and there of how it could be used and what. Again, this is strictly for the recreational part, and just I don't know where it's going to go, but we're watching that very closely and keeping an eye on that. There's a couple of ones I put on there that would catch your interest. One would be any organizations you belong to or lobbying fees, such as ourselves. You'd have to disclose those and where they go, put them on your website. Several people do that already. That Senator Linehan has a bill on that Friday. There's one as well yesterday, Sarah Albright, on basically allowing communities to not ban natural gas in their communities. So it's a preemptive strike against other communities around the country that are doing that for the environmental reasons. They feel that's the wrong thing. I don't know how that went over. There was a little opposition to it from some of the Sierra Club and some other people like that. And also neutral from the League of Municipalities. So the cities hate that where you tell them what to do. They looked at the bill and worked with the city somewhat to bring them in neutral. They said, any change, and we're going to oppose this. So I don't think that's a huge issue here in Nebraska, but it is a trend that's starting on the coast maybe where somebody says, you can't, on any new construction, you can't use gas. So that bill was brought by Black Hills Energy, of course. So anyway, those are what's happening. I just also want to let you know, the bills, we went from all-day hearings ending tomorrow, and then they'll be back to normal legislative session in the morning, hearings in the afternoon. I'm guessing, just speculating, that goes through mid-March is what usually St. Patrick's Day is kind of the good benchmark for when that ends of these hearings. So we'll watch those. The one thing we want to watch, Natural Resources Committee gets 2 priority bills. So we'll look at what those are going to be. It's way too early to say what those will be. And then senators will start issuing their priority bills. I think that's also around that same time, maybe March 13th. Just guessing on that. That's up to the speaker. Maybe Josh will hear something too, and we can get a date out there. But anyway, so we're keeping a close eye on these things. I just wanted to be here quickly today to let you know if you got issues on the upcoming bills. We wanted to get those to you earlier, but they only get scheduled so fast, right? So now that it's slowing down, we always make sure John knows. He gets them all the time. And then we monitor all these bills and send a quick little update to John on anything that would be of interest. So with that, I'll leave you with that. If there's any questions, happy to try to answer them.
Any questions for Tim?
I'll ask one.
Go ahead, Phil.
Last time you were here, Tim, you talked about there might be over 800, 900 bills introduced this year in the long session.
Yep.
How many bills actually did get introduced?
Like 812 and 20 constitutional amendments.
And they're going to have hearings on all those?
Yeah. That's why they did the morning and afternoon things. Speaker Arch was, how are we going to get through all these things? So, yeah, it's crazy. And I had heard, I don't know for a fact, anyway, from a fairly reliable source, 200 bills were in the bill drafters that they couldn't get to.
Jeez.
So it's interesting to keep up with all this stuff. But the good news is slowing down more. you know, hopefully we didn't miss anything major. I know you all went to the NARD conference and they covered a lot of this as well, so I don't want to duplicate that. I just want to let you know we have eyes on it too. We do need to, when anyone can get a breather. John knows a lot of these people, but it's still, there's new members on that committee. We'd like to just, you know, start introducing and do the relationship building with him as well. So, anyway. All right.
Thanks, Jim.
Thank you.
Item 9, public hearing on acquisition of real property for the WP2 project, John Winkler. I hereby call to order the Papio, Missouri NRD public hearing on acquisition of real property for WP2 project meeting, and hereby appoint General Manager John Winkler as the hearing officer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Next item on the agenda is evidence of the proof of publication of the hearing notice. Agenda item 4 is explanation of the purpose of the hearing. Brett Meyer.
Thank you, General Manager Winkler. This hearing is being conducted in compliance with Nebraska Revised Statute Section 25-2504. At this hearing, the Papio Missouri River Natural Resources District will explain the nature and necessity of the West Papillion Regional Basin No. 2 project and the reasons for selecting this particular location. Each owner of property to be acquired by the district has the right to be represented by an attorney and to negotiate and accept or reject the offer made by the district for the proposed acquisition. Each owner has the right to require that such damages be determined pursuant to the procedures for acquisition by eminent domain. At this hearing, the district will hear and consider any objections from any people. Thank you.
Thank you, Brent. Agenda item 5 is the identification of the exhibits. Exhibit number 1 is the agenda itself. Exhibit 2 is the proof of publication of hearing notice in the January 30th and February 2nd Omaha World Herald. Exhibit 3 is the preliminary site map of West Papillion Regional Basin No. 2. Exhibit 4 is a map of proposed land acquisition of West Papillion Regional Basin No. 2. Exhibit 5, public hearing notice and information packet sent to all landowners via certified mail January 24, 2023. Exhibit 6, list of landowners mailed hearing notice. Exhibit 7, certified mail return receipts for information packet mailed to landowners. Agenda item 6 is the explanation of the purpose and scope of the project, and I'll turn over to Ian.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm going to read a brief description of the scope and purpose of the project, as well as the need for the land that's the subject of the public hearing today. So the Papio NRD is proposing the construction of the West Papillion Regional Basin No. 2, hereinafter referred to as the WP2 project. This project is generally located around 180th Street and Giles Road. And if I actually go to Exhibit 3, we can take a look at the preliminary site map and the general location as I talk through some more details. So the purpose of this project is to provide public flood control and a public recreation component in the Papillion Creek watershed. This will be constructed in the community of Gretna, Sarpy County, and serve the overall Omaha metro area. This location was chosen to maximize the controlled drainage area in the watershed. So looking here at Exhibit 3, we can see many of the features of the reservoir. You can see some of the typical major features like the embankment, principal and auxiliary spillways located to the northeast on the diagram there. The reservoir has a drainage area of about 700 acres. The normal pool surface area is anticipated to be about 17.5 acres once constructed and fully filled up. WP2 will be a public lake with public recreation features. So a bit difficult to see on that diagram, but you can kind of tell a thin gray line circumnavigating the reservoir. It's a little over a mile long trail. There will be, helpful to point out some of that. So you can see the trail in areas like this. Around here, you can see a day-use recreation area. It includes parking, picnic facilities, restrooms, and then the lake will also be supporting fish habitat. Next, if we go down to Exhibit 4, talk over the land that's the subject of the public hearing today. So for the construction, operation, and maintenance of that reservoir project, it's necessary for the district to acquire fee simple Title II and or permanent and temporary easements in, on, over, and across lands acquired for the WP2 project. The land required is based on the project limits and requirements. Up here you can see the area of land that we're talking about. I think I accidentally moved it down. Apologies. So shaded in red to the northeast is the portion that we are looking at here. It's the subject of the public hearing today. If we recall the previous exhibit, the dam embankment is directly adjacent to the southwest of the property shaded in red here. The legal limits of that property were mailed along with the public hearing notice for the parcel that we were purchasing from, and the area of that parcel is just about 16 acres. So that's all I have, but I'd be happy to answer any questions from the board or from the public or address any comments.
Thank you, Ian. Agenda item 7 is received testimony and statements. Is there anyone in the public that would like to provide any statement or comment?
Hi, Pat. Please state your name and address for the record.
Yep. Patrick Sullivan, 1246 Golden Gate Drive in Papillion. I represent the property owner on this. Good evening, commissioners. The big concern on this property and acquiring this property, and I know that we have to pay just compensation, but the property has been in the family for like 50 years, and so it really isn't just for us, for them, because we're going to have capital gains that need to be paid on this property. To the tune of about 28% of state and federal taxes. And we're just trying to figure out any way that this could potentially be delayed. I don't know how to say this without saying it straight out, but we do get a stepped up in basis when Richard Cranbeck, the owner, does pass away. And then we don't have taxes, and I think they'd be very comfortable transferring it at that point. So I don't know whether this project, how necessary this project is at this time, but we would like to do anything we could to delay the purchase.
Thank you. Thanks, sir. Is there any else that would provide statements or input? Okay. Third and final time. Okay, seeing them, we'll close this testimony statement portion. Agenda item 8 is the reception of the exhibits, and agenda 9 is the adjournment of the hearing at 4:49. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, General Manager John Winkler. Item 10A, Programs, Projects, and Operations Subcommittee, Director Fred Conley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Be resolved that the minutes of the February 7, 2023 meeting of the Program Projects and Operations Subcommittee are accepted and incorporated in these minutes, and the following recommendations of the subcommittee are hereby adopted and approved. Eric Williams and Mark McClanahan, RDG, gave a presentation on the NEAT trail connections. No action was taken by the subcommittee. 10A1, interlocal agreement with Lower Platte South NRD for river observation cameras. Recommendation that the general manager be authorized to execute the proposed interlocal agreement with the Lower Platte South NRD for the Elkhorn/Platte River cameras project, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approved as to form by district legal counsel, and I so move.
Any public comments on item 10A1? Staff? Directors? Roll call.
Davidson?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Pennington?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
McCormick?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
McCormick?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Conley?
Aye.
Sherman?
Yes.
10A2, construction bids for the no-name dike. Recommendation that the general manager be authorized to execute a contract with Nelson and Rock Contracting, Inc., in a not-to-exceed amount of $176,025 for the construction of the no-name dike culvert rehabilitation project at Station 47 plus 65, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approval as to form by district legal counsel, and I so move.
Any public comments on the construction bids for No Name Dike? staff, directors. Roll call.
Fowler.
Yes.
Huntington.
Yes.
Jeff.
Yes.
McCormick.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Conley.
Aye.
Davidson.
Yes.
Yes. 10A3, Cramper Lake Water Main Extension Bids. Recommendation that the general manager be authorized to execute a contract with Penrose Construction Company in a not to exceed amount of $3,094,108 for the construction of Camper Lake Main Extension Project, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approval as to form by district legal counsel, and I so move.
Any public comments on this matter? Staff? Directors? I love it when bids come in below estimate. Roll call.
Pennington.
Yes.
Jeff.
Yes.
McCormick.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Conley.
Aye.
Davidson.
Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
Sherman.
Yes.
Item 10A4, Elkhorn River Improvement Project Area Assessment. Recommendation that the following resolution be adopted. Elkhorn Riverbank Stabilization Improvement Project Annual Operation and Management Assessment. I'm not going to read all of that. So if you want to go ahead and read it, go ahead.
I'm okay with that, Fred.
The part below it, be it further resolved that the Secretary of the District shall certify a copy of this levy resolution to the county clerk and county treasurer of Douglas County, Nebraska, for spreading the same on the tax record of such county, and such special assessment shall be collected by the Douglas County treasurer as provided by law, and I so move.
Any public comments on this item? Staff? Directors?
I was going to say, well done, Fred.
Roll call.
Jeff.
Yes. Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Conley.
Aye.
Davidson.
Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
Henningsen.
Yes.
Chairman.
Yes.
10A5, interlocal agreement with Sarpy County for Buffalo Road Project. Recommendation that the general manager be authorized to execute interlocal agreement with Sarpy County for the Buffalo Road Channel Project for a total amount of up to $1.5 million with initial reimbursement funding no earlier than fiscal year 2023, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approval as to form by district legal counsel, and I so move.
Any public comments on this matter? Staff? Directors? Chuck?
I have a couple, I think, for staff. How many projects in this fiscal year are we reimbursing, roughly? Well,
there are six projects in the Urban Drainage Way program right now. This is the set of interlocal agreements we approved in the fall, and those cover the next three or four fiscal years.
And is that pretty typical for it to go 100,000, 200,000, a million, something like that?
It is. Over the last 2 years, we realized that the design portion of the projects is going well, but the permitting process is taking longer than anticipated. And so the first 2 years are generally the design and permitting process, and that third year is usually anticipated to be the construction. Sometimes it takes a little longer. But the urban drainage way projects, many of them fall in that individual permit category, which is not the maybe 3 to 6 month period, but maybe more like a year and a half to 2 years. So we anticipate the reimbursement to be lower in the first 2 years and then increase a lot when the construction actually happens.
And are we using the entire budgeted amount in fiscal year 23? More or less.
Well, we will find out as we get to the end of the year and find out about the progress of the projects. Again, there are about six of them, so we do anticipate most of those moving forward. Again, it kind of depends on the sponsor's actions.
Okay. And then fiscal year 24, have we signed agreements expecting to do the same in 24?
So, yes, the interlocal agreements do specify that those same six projects. If Thomas Creek is completed by Omaha, which they're not in construction now, so we do not anticipate that actually being completed this year, so that one will probably move forward. But the other five projects all are in process now, and they may move to construction in 24. I think Papillion is anticipating one to move to construction in 24, but all of those projects are anticipated to be in 24.
Okay. Did I hear you correctly on Tuesday when you said that the increase in fiscal 25 is within what's anticipated to be the overall budgeted amount anyway? We're just using the rest of the anticipated budgeted authority in fiscal year 25?
The Urban Drainageway Program doesn't have a set total program spending amount in any particular fiscal year. That's annually submitted with the budget process and then approved. We usually try and keep that around $1.5 to $2 million. And so the projected expenditures over the next few fiscal years, based on those interlocal agreements, is in that area. We're anticipating as well as we can the design and construction process for several relatively large projects. But we do not anticipate that this increase would push us significantly outside of what we have seen for budgeted and incurred expenses in the past in this program.
Okay. But as of now, with the agreements that we've signed, there is it fair to say there is a little bit of wiggle room in fiscal year 25? I mean, obviously we haven't budgeted anything for fiscal year 25 yet, but when those... And that trend line, those projections.
Yeah, I think it is. Unlike, we do not anticipate releasing a call for projects in 24, which I mentioned on Tuesday. I think it is unlikely we will be prepared to have a call for projects again in 2025 based on the current anticipated costs for the projects, which we've already approved. I don't know if that's the question you're asking, is basically, will we take on new projects again? I think that the projects that we have approved and for which we have agreements now will probably be in that $1.5 to $2 million range over the next couple fiscal years. So essentially, we are anticipating several big projects that are very good projects from several different jurisdictions, and that means that we are not looking to encourage new projects. We have had one request already. It's possible it will be smaller, and so we might be able to work with them next year, but we want to be careful not to take on more than we can handle either with staff time or with budget funding.
But if we do that, I mean, if we do this, we're going from unlikely to take on new things in 25 to more or less 0%. I mean, that's the decision we're making today, right?
This doesn't have a huge influence over the. I mean, it's about $300,000 of increased expenditure in 2025, and so that is not the overall anticipated cost by 2025 around the order of $2 million. So this individual change would not likely have the determining factor on whether or not we will take additional projects in 2025. I think that the work that we have already identified with the interlocals that are in place means that it is unlikely, and this will have some influence, but is probably not a single determining factor as to whether or not we will take on new projects.
But $200,000 or $300,000 would be year one or year two of a new project.
It would, right. Yes.
So, which is now what we're spending on year three of another project.
That's right. And so I have a table that it's a casual table that we kind of work from what we might expect in the future. But the anticipated future expenditures here are listed out through not only 25, but also 2026. And so by 2025, could we take on first years of new projects that would stretch 26, 27, 28? We could. And I think that it's a little early to determine what projects might we expect to be applying 2 years from now.
But I guess what I'm getting at is,
yeah,
the decision we're making today is essentially closing the door on anything new until fiscal 26.
It does.
As a practical matter.
Something like that.
Right. It may have been unlikely, but now it's...
It is. It would make it less likely.
More unlikely, yes. Right. Okay,
yes.
Thank you.
Any other director questions, comments? Jim?
If I might follow on, Josh. I mean, we limit our budget each year, of course, to what we have, and if we have to stretch it out, like in this case, it doesn't close the door for new projects. It just, we might, like Eric said, advise, you know, we've already kind of X amount and X amount plus for new projects. We have within our authority to increase our budget in this capacity, in this particular program, but amongst other things, you know, I think we've always been comfortable with what'd you say, million and a half, two at the most. So So, you know, we have the flexibility to increase depending on projects in the future, but we'd like to keep it pretty stable.
Anyone else? Roll call.
McCormick.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Bonner.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Conley.
Yes.
No. Yes.
Yes.
That completes my report, Chair.
Thank you, Director Conley. Item 10B, Finance, Expenditure, and Legal Subcommittee, Director Larry Bradley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think there's just one item. Be it resolved that the minutes of the February 7th, 2023 meeting of the Finance, Expenditure, and Legal Subcommittee are accepted and incorporated in these minutes, and the following recommendations of the subcommittee are hereby adopted and approved. Item 1, Fort Street Right-of-Way Dedication to Douglas County. Recommendation that the General Manager be authorized to execute the proposed right-of-way dedication agreement. Permanent drainage easements and temporary construction easements for WP1 project site, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approval as deformed by district legal counsel, and I so move.
Public comments on this item? Staff, directors, slam dunk, roll call.
Thompson.
Yes.
Bonner.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Aye.
Davidson.
Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
Davidson.
Yes.
Dow.
Yes.
McCormick.
Yes.
Chairman.
Yes. Thank you, Director Bradley. Item 11, Director Tim Fowler, Treasurer's Report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to take items A through J all-inclusive and that the finance reports be affixed to and made part of the permanent minutes. I so move.
Second. Second by Director Bradley. Any public comments? Staff? Directors? Roll call.
Bonner.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Conley. Aye.
Davidson.
Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
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 McCormick.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Chairman.
Yes. Thank you, Director Fowler. Item 12, Chairman's Report, appointment of the ad hoc consultant selection subcommittee RFP for the Papillion Creek Watershed Partnership Management Plan update has been completed. The ad hoc subcommittee members will be Tim McCormick, Chairman, Tim Fowler, Vice Chairman, Josh Henningsen, Phil Davidson, Patrick Bonnet, and I will be an alternate. Item 12B, the
NARDP. I move with the recommendation.
Oh, thank you. We have to vote on that one. I forgot. Public comment on that.
So we need a second.
Second.
Thank you. Public comments. Staff, directors. Roll call.
Bradley.
Yes.
Hi. Aye.
Davidson.
Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
Henningsen.
Yes.
Jack.
Yes.
McCormick.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Bonner.
Yes. Yes. Item B, the NARD Washington, D.C. trip is March 19 through 22, 2023. The tentative attendees are directors Tim McCormick and Jim Thompson. We don't need to vote on that, correct? Okay. There is a flyer in your booklet for the Conservation Ag Open House up in Blair, I believe, correct?
Kenner,
that's right.
Kenner.
That's headland up there, so there's a chance you can difference. Make that. Please try to make that. Lastly, for my part, a belated happy birthday to Director Jim Thompson. His birthday was Tuesday. Should we sing?
No. I want that singing aspect. Although no one's sung to me yet.
Item 13, General Manager's Report, General Manager John Winkler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The information education highlights, so a little bit of sad news. So one of our team members, Finn, the barn owl that we took to various schools throughout, he passed away. So we'll have to see what we can do about possibly replacing him. But I know he was hugely popular for all the kids and teachers and everybody around. So
is he going to be stuffed and put outside?
I don't think so. We had to send him away to see how he passed away. So I don't think we will have him. Personnel miscellaneous items. As Director Sapinski or Chairman Sapinski discussed the Conservation Ag Open House, will it be in Kennard at the Kennard Auditorium? This event is coordinated by the PAPU NRD in association with the Papillion Creek Watershed Enhanced Water Quality Practices Program. And there's some sponsors that are listed there, both government and private companies. As well as the report on purchases, construction services, professional service, personal properties attached, and well as the current and ongoing projects with the District Legal Counsel. The next Papillion Creek Watershed Partnership meeting is scheduled for Friday, February 24th. And I did have a special note to wish Jim Thompson happy birthday, but someone else already got me on that.
Oh, sorry.
But happy birthday to Mr. Thompson. That concludes my report, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Unless there's any questions.
Thank you. Item 14, informational items. The next meeting coming up, March 7 and 9, the NARD trip we already talked about. The offices will be closed February 20th, the open house in Kennard. And don't forget Valentine's Day. Next meeting, of course, will be held March 9, 2023. And with that, it is 5:01. We are adjourned.
Where is Kennard, Nebraska?
It's just on the way.